This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities with a wrap-up of the wheat markets on Friday, December 18th. Well, it was a pretty active week across the grain space, primarily in corn and soybeans, but wheat saw a fair amount of price action as well. Last week, we ended on a strong note on Friday with a surge higher on Friday, with a lot of chatter about Russia starting a $30 a ton export tax in mid-February for the rest of their marketing year. That, of course, would effectively raise world prices by that much since Russia is the world's largest exporter and tends to set world price anyway. That, of course, would then make U.S. prices much more competitive across the world markets. Now, as we came into this week, the market had pretty much factored that in. We saw domestic prices in Russia basically be stable through the weekend, and world prices really didn't budge all that much for the week. So we didn't get any follow-through on Monday, and in fact, Monday's price action gave back much of what Friday had earned. And then we spent the rest of the week just chopping around sideways. Part of that, of course, is because of the big Australian crop, and they are moving that crop into the world pipeline. We knew that they would be a big presence this fall because they had the second biggest crop ever. And of course, after 3 years of disaster crops, they're very much intent on regaining market supply or market share. And now with Russia gone, it just makes it all that much easier into those key Southeast Asian markets. For the week, we had Kansas City wheat down 12, Minneapolis was down 2, Chicago was down 6. Really, the action was in the row crop with corn up 14 and soybeans up a whopping 60 cents. That takes them to a 5-year high. Now, for the row crops, of course, we got the drought going on in South America. It started in central and northern part of Brazil, where they started out the growing season under intense dry conditions. They've had some relief since then, but as that has evolved, southern Brazil and much of Argentina has turned dry, and now we've got some heat coming in. So corn plantings are behind, soybeans are behind. That's going to push a lot of second season corn crop in Brazil way late or just not at all. And we're seeing some yield declines already starting to be factored in for Argentine corn and soybeans. Throw on top of that, a port workers' strike in Argentina, which is not unusual this time of year, but it is occurring, so that's slowing down exports of corn and soy meal in particular. And that is pushing demand back to the United States. Now, we can ill afford to really see much more demand in soybeans. Our ending stocks are very tight and just getting tighter. And now, of course, China demand has been practically insatiable. And that's pushing world prices higher. And now they're coming back to the U.S. when, again, we really can't afford to export a lot more soybeans, but they are coming for it. So this is pushing, you know, corn and soybeans obviously sharply higher. It's also, in the short term, creating some pressure in wheat because the hedge funds are going to use wheat as the short leg of spreads. They're rarely just going to be outright long or short a market. And usually if they're long corn and beans, usually they're going to be long both of those together. They'll use wheat as the short leg of the spread. We could clearly see that kind of price action going on this week. That doesn't mean that wheat won't find support from those markets, and in particular corn. Obviously, wheat is a feed grain substitute, and it's a major feed grain in pretty much around the rest of the world, especially in China. And feed grain prices are rapidly rising in China, and obviously, even with export demand as big as it is from China, or import demand, I should say, they're still seeing sky-high feed grain prices across most of China. In Russia, of course, sky-high feed grain prices and record-high flour prices are what forced the government to finally impose some kind of an export tax. And again, that was supposed to start in mid-February. What we're seeing this week, hearing a lot of rumors about export certificates being slow walked out of the government for cargoes that would be being shipped out right now out of Russia. So exporters are having trouble meeting obligations for sales that they made long ago and that would have been being shipped out now. Now, the Russian government is denying that there's any real truth to that, or that they're trying to slow walk the exports, but that's certainly the effect that it's having and would kind of play right into the hands of what the domestic end users wanted the government to do in the first place, is just shut off exports completely right away so they could protect domestic supplies and prevent those prices from continuing to push into new highs. So it's an interesting development going on there. And Russian exporters basically have just pulled their FOB offers altogether. Egypt came in for some wheat this week. We saw very few Russian offers. They weren't even close to being competitive. So Egypt bought 235,000 tons of wheat. They bought 120,000 from Romania and 115,000 from Ukraine. Average price was $283 cost and freight. That was up almost $8 from their previous purchase on their most recent purchase on December 1st. And that was all Russian wheat. So that takes Egypt's prices to a five-year high, and effectively takes world prices to a five-year high. So despite, you know, big crop from Argentina, and despite U.S. futures being lower for the week, we're seeing world prices ratchet higher. Maybe not so much this week, but certainly from the previous couple weeks, that is the result of that. We'll get a good look at what world prices are over the weekend, but suffice it to say, I think that we're going to be well supported for wheat. We just don't see the kind of pressure coming into that market that you would typically see this time of year from the Southern Hemisphere. Port strikes in Argentina, helping to protect those or keep those supplies in country. Plus, they had some dryness late in the wheat season that shaved off some top-end yield, so they really don't have that much to push into the open world market after what they would send to Brazil. So Australia is really the only major player when it comes to winter wheat. Europe had a fairly short crop, so they're not all that competitive. So that puts the U.S. right into the competitive mix. Spring wheat, of course, we're going to have a lot of competition from Canada, and it's going to be tough for spring wheat to really perform against the winter wheats, I think, as we move forward. The other thing going on here that will take time to play out, but as corn and soybean prices need to ration demand, number one, and respond to the ongoing drought in South America, here in the United States, it's going to be, or those high prices are going to be buying a lot of acres in the Midwest, and marginal acres from the southern and central plains. Wheat, hard red winter wheat, went into a lot of dry conditions in the south, especially the western half of the southern and central plains. Marginal condition for that wheat, and that could easily be torn out, put into sorghum, which is seeing very high prices. Corn, soybeans, those acres could be easily pushed into other crops. So the market's going to have to protect those acres. It's a similar story in Russia, where they even had worse conditions for planting. And crop conditions are 22% poor to very poor. So most likely we're going to see a fair amount of winter kill in Russia. They've already ratcheted down production, even though plantings were record high. So there too, they could easily go to corn or sunflowers. And I think that that's going to be an option for those farmers willing and ready to do that. In the meantime, they're hanging on to old crop wheat supplies because, again, prices are near all-time highs. Their winter wheat that's in the ground looks terrible, and they just don't have an incentive really to move it at this point. So I think as we get into the spring that the wheat prices will continue to move higher to protect supplies, obviously, but also to protect acres for next year. And unless we get ideal spring weather early, you could easily see prices start to take off. So the first country will be the United States as we break dormancy in Kansas in mid-March. That will kind of set the tone for late March through mid to late April. And then you start breaking dormancy in southern Russia in about mid-April. And obviously we need a similar good performance of spring weather to keep that crop in the ground. And so I just see the potential for some pretty big moves to the upside as we get into the spring here in the United States and in the Black Sea region. And on top of that, you've already got a very strong bull market going in corn and soybeans. That will continue to underpin wheat as well. So I just don't see grain prices backing off. I don't see how they could, unless you suddenly get a change in La Nina, which is the second strongest on record and appears to be getting even stronger. Certainly is not going anywhere. And that's creating havoc in Argentina and Brazil. That will continue to support corn and soybeans from a production standpoint. And, you know, the demand that's coming from major buyers back to the United States is going to force us to start to ration supplies as well. So it just seems like a very solid demand-driven bull market. And now we're starting to throw some weather on it from South America, and we just seem to be relentless. Soybeans closing above that key $12 mark, that is going to bring in more technical traders as well. And I think that's going to pull the rest of the crops along with it. So while it may be led by soybeans, wheat is going to tag along very well because corn will tag along with soybeans, not only because of supply problems, but strong demand as well. So it looks good. We might get some pullbacks. This time of year, wheat does tend to pull back. We tend to see a lot of selling from farmers after the first of the year. That could, you know, pressure the market somewhat, but I don't see it falling apart. I don't see it having any major leg to the downside, and most likely would just, if that happened, would present a good buying opportunity as we work our way into the spring. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.